We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal Boys and Girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrandt. Seated directly to my right, Dan Rubenstein. Dan, we are in Atlanta. How are you?
I'm perfect, Ty. Thank you for asking me. Could not be more excited to be here in the flesh with you. And soon enough, in the flesh with this, it's an uncomfortable way of phrasing things.
Phrasing
now I understand.
Weird. The construction is odd.
It's very exciting to be before, to be near, to be amongst our listeners for our live show, Inducting Things in the Hall of Fame, solidverbalive.com.
Solidverbalive.com. Make sure you check it out again if you're going to be in the greater Atlanta area this Friday, December the 2nd, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, of course, Terminal West.
That's live, like in a venue, not live, like on Spotify.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Going to be live. Speaking of the Spotify live thing, we have gone many weeks now of posting excerpts from this show. You and I play games. We have fun with all things college football.
Certainly.
One aspect of this show that we have yet to highlight, and it's on me, frankly, the people who line up. Our trusted verballers who line up and want to give their two cents.
Yeah.
Want to give their take, want to give their picks for the week ahead. So as luck would have it, we got a pretty clean pull of the audio this time. We're going to play that here. So this is what you have to look forward to if you stop on by again every Thursday evening, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West. You can hop on stage with us. If you see our tweets, we're always talking about hop on stage with us, that type of thing.
Right.
This is what hopping on stage with us actually sounds like. And feels like if you were joining us live every Thursday on Spotify. We appreciate everybody's participation. It makes the show fun. We're going to continue to do it again every Thursday evening. So enjoy the excerpt. Enjoy the weekend. Hope you can make it out to the Atlanta live show. Hope you can make it to the Spotify live show next Thursday again, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West. You know the drill. Stay solid.
Peace.
First, we're going to go to Shay, who's been waiting patiently. Hello, Shay. Make sure you're unmuted. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Atlanta. How are you?
Hey, gentlemen. Good evening. How's Atlanta treating you so far?
Good. Good. Yeah, not Dan's bad. Got a jacket on. It is a little nippy here in the hotel room, but we'll
it's
try
nippy
to
nippy in the hotel
that.
Room. It's like 20 degrees outside here in Wisconsin.
It's not great. Brutal. Brutal. What you got for us tonight?
Well, you stole my thunder a little bit taking Fresno. They are plus +3 now, by the way. The line has moved since maybe you made that pick. But I will say that as a backup, I had ready to go tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern. We have Akron. We have Buffalo. Buffalo playing for a bowl game.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
And they have won. They won on a 5-game winning streak like midseason. They kind of fell off a little bit, playing a little bit stronger competition. Ohio. They lost by a little bit to Kent State. I don't know. It's Akron. Akron's 2-9. The game was rescheduled. Buffalo has everything to play for, and Akron has nothing. And Buffalo's only favored by 11. I'll take it by at least 2 touchdowns, and that's my pick.
I like it. Going, off the beaten path.
Going heavy Buffalo. Thank you, Shay. We appreciate it. Let's go on over. Who's in the chat here? Who do we got? Catherine. What up, Catherine? What do you got for us?
Hey, y'all. I'm also going to pick a team that is playing for a bowl game. I'm going to pick New Mexico State this weekend. I do have a side note, if y'all don't mind.
Please. Uh-oh.
Well, it was going to be about Auburn, but then I, you know, as this kind of chat went on, I just want to kind of take a pause here and think about college football. The most games that a team can play in any season is 15. The maximum number of games that a player can be on a team for is, I guess, technically 75, assuming they redshirt 1 year and taking out the weird COVID stuff. I think that any kind of concept, and it's not just y'all, it's been something that's been popping up as people think about the playoff and all this other stuff, expansion. The idea of any of these players or any of these teams deciding that they're going to tank a game or that they're going to not have anything to play for, I think that that just kind of goes against the entire ethos of college football as a chaotic, wacky collection of, you know, 18 to 22 year olds who, even when they have nothing to play for, all of a sudden can beat LSU for no good reason except to spite us. So I just wanted to kind of make that point. As we're talking about,
to be clear, I didn't think it would happen. To be clear,
I know, but I think that it's worth having a conversation because even in kind of like in different spaces, it's been brought up in different, you know, y'all know I'm in a comment section. Like,
that's true. You are the comment section.
Well, sometimes, but it's just something that I think needed to be said, and I felt like saying it. Sure. Also, Auburn made a really bad hire.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys.
Of course. Thank you, as always.
Thank you, Catherine. Always very thoughtful. We appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, the tanking thing. I mean, people have twisted themselves in knots on the pro level when it comes up, right? Is it cool to do that? The NBA doesn't know what to do about it, right? It's been,
well, they've changed up the way that the lottery works, so you can't just automatically get the top pick or one of the top two or three picks, right? They changed up the percentages, and we've seen it with football, NFL, in years past. Like, should we play our starters since we've already clinched a playoff spot in week, I don't know what it's called now. They have week 18 now because they play 17 games. So that is, you know, it's not nearly as true with college football. But also, you can say, this is me just going out into a silly tangent. You can say, why don't we play some younger players? Because some older players are beat up, and let's not force them to play through injuries in this specific moment. I don't think it happens. But also, you're like, okay, we are up by this many points. Let's play younger players earlier than we usually would in a game like this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think tanking per se, and we'll move on here. I know we've got people who are queued up. I don't think tanking per se is something that we will see in college football before players not wanting to play more games in an expanded playoff universe, before, you know, coaches talking more openly about not playing guys who are injury risks,
right?
Maybe altering point spreads in an unintended way, not wanting to risk injury to some of the players who are going to have to play in a playoff. That is not direct tanking.
No.
But it is something that has an impact on, you know, the college football equivalent of a week 18 or a conference championship game or whatever form this thing takes on. In many ways, we are pushing into new territory with college football right now, be it with NIL, with transfer portals, with coaches getting insane money, the expanded playoff universe, which appears as if it's going to happen. We didn't even talk about that because
became official.
Detailed. Well, not even yet, but it's trending in that direction for the 2024 season.
No, the playoff actually announced it because the Rose Bowl.
I know they came to an agreement.
Yeah. The Rose Bowl acquiesced. It's 2024 is a 12-team playoff.
I mean, we knew it was going to happen one way or another, but the fact that we are now diving headfirst into this world is, Who knows what kind of ramifications. So it's a great conversation. And thank you, Catherine, for kind of taking us down that path a little bit more. Where do we want to go next here? Let's go to Mark. Mark, welcome aboard.
Unmute yourself.
Sir, how are you? You are muted currently. Now you're not. Hello.
Hey. Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy listening to your show. I'm a big Michigan fan. I'm actually about 100 miles from you guys in East Alabama.
Nice.
But my thing is, I would say, I know Michigan beat Ohio State big last week. That was a great game. I love seeing J.J. McCarthy play that game last week. I thought that was like, I think he's going to be the best. He'll be one of the best quarterbacks in Michigan history if he sure. keeps going on like that and does not get hurt in the next couple of years. But I would like to say this week, I would think that Michigan, after coming off that high and not having that novelty of having to win the Big Ten like for the first time in a long time like they did last year, I'm almost thinking that Purdue might have a better chance to play under the number. I think Michigan will win, but I would think that Michigan might play a little down after coming down off that game against Ohio State. Now I know that you guys have always been talking this season about the bite from Nebraska, but Michigan's not had that effect as of yet, so I'm kind of leery that Michigan could let this one get by them a little bit if they don't
thank you Mark for hopping on with us here. I appreciate that sentiment, because I feel like everywhere I've looked, and certainly between you and I, it's all mm-hmm. been very pro Michigan. Even after the Blake Corum stuff,
right?
You know, it's like, wow, they're still going to run away with this thing. The point spread hasn't really moved all that much, so it's refreshing in a sense to get a different point of view on that. Michigan could play down. Michigan has right. played down. We saw them play down to Illinois, right? We saw
sure.
You know, it's not beyond the realm of possibilities, especially in already a wacky college football season for that type of thing to go down. So
the thing is, the case against Michigan covering and struggling a bit with Purdue is basically looking at the Ohio State game as an offensive anomaly, that the way that they've won has been wearing teams down on the ground with a running back who's not available for the rest of the year, largely with the running back who's not available for the rest of the year, and that they didn't have an especially explosive offense, especially through the air. And then it happened against Ohio State. And we've seen other teams do a good job in keeping the Michigan offense in front of them. What the Michigan State score, even though it was what, the final was 29-7 or something like that.
Yeah.
I think they had one offensive drive, essentially, offensive touchdown drive in that game. And so there is that concern that because teams have turned sevens into threes when Michigan has the ball, that it becomes a more difficult cover job. That Michigan can control this game and win it 33-20. Right. Or, 28-17 and not cover, even though it never seemed to be in doubt because they came up short on 3rd and 8 on the 14 or something like that. That's the concern. If you're looking at this as like, OK, Purdue's defense might just be good enough to keep Michigan's offense in front of them if they're keying in on the run on a still beat up Donovan Edwards. And so in a letdown spot, I don't buy it because we've seen it before where, and I think Purdue is much better than Rutgers, but we saw that slow start against Rutgers. And then what happened? Interception, interception, interception. And it's the defense that wears down the other team, and it just makes life easier for the offense. Ultimately, that's why I think Michigan covers, but the case is, I think it's pretty clear.
It's pretty clear. Let's do one more because we do have this interview excerpt that we want to play. Burt Kreischer. Can't believe we had a chance to chat with him earlier today. We wanted to have him on the show forever, and we finally were able to make it happen here from the mobile Atlanta studio today. Let's go to Ken to close things out here before we play part of that interview. Hey, Ken, how are you?
Hello,
Ken.
Hey, my phone died out. I just wanted to say, A, love you guys. B, proud of you for getting Burt Kreischer. C, LSU is going to beat the brakes off Georgia this weekend.
Yeah,
not a
Ken.
Upset, not a clutch, whatever. The brakes off of. Love y'all. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you, Ken. Dude, what a way to go out.
Okay. I like this. You are not Ken's spokesperson, but should LSU beat the brakes off of Georgia? What is the cause? What is the engine of LSU beating Georgia comfortably?
The engine is Jaden Daniels.
Man,
the engine is Jaden Daniels. I mean, the engine has been Jaden Daniels in all the big games that LSU has won. And, you know, they've had guys step up on defense, right? Mm-hmm. Our guy, Harry Perkey, right? I mean, he continues to get better week in and week out. And, you know, is he a kind of guy who can make a difference on a couple different levels?
Looks to be a winter wonder already. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is he that type of talent? I think so. I think he needs more support. right? But I think LSU's a really good side. I just think they need to get some of the other pieces really on offense.
Good side, you soccer head.
I've been watching a lot of World Cup,
dude. You devil, you.
I've been watching a lot of World Cup.
Oh, my God.
Excuse me. So I think if it happens, I mean, it's probably cliche at this point to say it's Jaden Daniels, but I think it is probably Jaden Daniels leading the charge in tandem with some of those other weapons on offense, whether it's him being able to throw downfield to Malik Nabers, to Sean Booty, you know, like getting it working through the passing game, I think is probably the way to do it for Jaden Daniels, and then making things happen with his legs. You know, it probably is not more complicated than that. I am skeptical that Georgia will fall victim to it, but Georgia also has had some moments this season where they play with their food too. To the earlier point of maybe Michigan plays down, Georgia doesn't necessarily need to win this game, right? Georgia's probably right in already. So I'm not implying tanking, but I am implying perhaps there's a chance Georgia plays down and perhaps a super motivated LSU team comes again, a few like a hop, skip and a jump away from us and can pull an upset. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's more defense. I would say defense and special teams, but I don't know if I fully trust LSU special teams. Yeah, I think it's more defense, right? I think it's havoc. I think it's scoop and scores. I think it's, you know, an interception that necessarily is a pick six, but flips the field. I think anything that makes the offense's job easier, I think that's probably the recipe for LSU winning this game. I don't see the recipe for the
short
stomping.
Fields, right?
Right. It's short fields, it's freak plays, and it's that Stetson Bennett is not a perfect quarterback. It's that maybe Georgia goes into this game so confident in winning that they're not showing all that much ahead of the playoff. They feel like they can show just enough, you know, show 63% of their playbook, you know, come up with a very conservative game plan, because that's sort of been their MO, is right to get a comfortable enough lead and shut it down.
I'll tell you what the bummer is. The bummer about this game, no offense to this beautiful city.
Yeah.
The bummer is that the game is in Georgia.
Yeah.
Because you got to believe most of the people out there who aren't Georgia fans are rooting for LSU.
Oh, yeah.
They want LSU to pull this
upset. Just something new, yeah.
And so it may not feel that way in the stadium, but certainly out there in the Twitter sphere, on our Discord at verballers.com, shameless plug.
Yeah.
People are going to be rooting for LSU.
Yeah, I just hope Tiger fans who were considering traveling, that energy wasn't tamped down by the loss last week to A&M.
Yeah.
That they're represented well in the Mercedes, whatever.